Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 113 to close at 25,971. S&P 500 up 10 at 2,887. NASDAQ Composite up 48 at 7,972. Russell 2000 small and mid caps up a fraction at 1718. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note up 4 basis points at 2.98%. Oil up $2.37 at $69.91 per barrel. Gold up $2.70 at $11.99.10 per ounce. Apple climbed about 2.5% today. That boosted the three major indexes. It's a day ahead of the expected unveiling of the new iPhone models and all the other new gadgets at Apple. S&P tech sector up 0.8%, biggest percentage jump in 2 weeks, boosted by Microsoft up 1.7%, Facebook up 1.1%. Oil prices moved 3.5% higher today, big move. The energy index up 1%, that helped to lift the S&P 500. Shares of ExxonMobil up 1.4%, Chevron up 0.5%. So tech and oil higher, stocks, boom. On the downside, the semiconductor stocks continued to take a beating. Intel dropped 3% today. That extends a six-session losing streak despite gains in the broader stock market and the tech sector. And that means that Intel has now closed 21.3% below its 18-year closing high of $57.08 that was set back on June 1st. So Intel is in a bear market. The Philly Stock Index closed down 1%. AMD was the exception in stocks, topped $30 a share for the first time in 12 years. Big semiconductor deal also announced today. Japan's Renesas said it had agreed to buy U.S. rival IDT for $6.7 billion. The idea is to boost its autonomous car technology. It bought another U.S. chipmaker, Intersil, for $3.2 billion last year. Trump administration said it will seek fast-track approval from Congress for a trade deal being negotiated with the European Union, suggesting the two sides are hoping to make substantial changes to their commercial relationship. The U.S. Trade Representative's office will begin consultations with Congress on a trade deal with Europe under Trade Promotion Authority. It's a legislative tool that allows for a simple yes or no vote by lawmakers on a final deal. Automobiles could still be a sticking point. The European Union appeared to step back from a major concession it made in August when the European Trade Commissioner said then that the bloc was willing to cut tariffs on motor vehicles to zero if the U.S. did the same. Trump, his bluff called, immediately declared that the concessions were inadequate. Now, the European line is that any cuts on tariffs on motor vehicles will need the approval of the Union's 28 member states before further talks on the issue. In other words, trade talks are not the same as a trade deal. So far, China trade to the U.S. knows no bounds. In fact, the U.S. is faced with a record deficit with the Chinese. Companies, meanwhile, shipping back and forth like crazy to avoid tariff lock-in dates. The trade war has not harmed China's trade economy, at least based on recent trade data for August and the first week of September. Total trade activity climbed 12.9% on an annual basis in August in yuan terms. That's up from 12.5% in July. And that marked the 22nd month of growth. Now, this is not because of a weaker yuan. In dollar terms, total trade grew 14.3%. China, meanwhile, will ask the World Trade Organization, the WTO, next week for permission to impose sanctions on the U.S. for Washington's noncompliance with a ruling in dispute over U.S. dumping duties. The U.S. dollar edged up against a basket of major currencies as concerns about trade friction between China and the U.S. prompted some safe haven buying of the currency. It remains to be seen exactly how much impact a trade war might have on the U.S. and China economies. Exports accounted for roughly 20% of China's GDP last year. That's down from 36% in 2006. For the U.S., the share is even lower, with exports only accounting for 12% of GDP. That said, certain sectors and companies remain vulnerable. Apple warns proposed U.S. tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese goods would affect some of its signature products and disrupt its Asia-focused supply chain. Stocks started today's session in the red but seemed to bounce back following a Wall Street Journal article suggesting Beijing was backing off the tough talk and actually wooing U.S. firms' investment dollars. Treasury sold off across the curve as U.S. equities rebounded from early lows. Ray Dalio, the Bridgewater billionaire, is out with a new book called A Template for Understanding Debt Crises, which collects and organizes the fruits of his analysis of 48 different debt crises throughout history, analysis that helped his fund actually make money in 2008, while the average hedge fund lost about 20%. The most important takeaway from the book is that debt crises are an almost inevitable byproduct of capitalism and human nature. So Dalio went on CNBC this morning to talk about it. He says the current bull market is in the seventh inning, meaning we might have a couple more years of good times, then all hell breaks loose. Dalio said the next crisis won't be a Big Bang type affair, but one that leads to more severe social and political problems. So then the question is how to straighten out the economic problems without triggering World War III. The Atlanta Federal Reserve's GDP Now forecast model shows the U.S. economy is expanding at a 3.8% annualized rate in the third quarter. That follows this past Friday's August payroll data. This is slower than the 4.4% GDP pace calculated by the Regional Fed's forecast program back on September 5th. The Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, estimates the U.S. budget deficit in August was $211 billion, nearly double the gap during the year-ago month. The budget deficit is widening in a big way. In the first 11 months of the fiscal year, the deficit was $895 billion, which is $222 billion more than the previous year. Outlays have climbed 7%, while revenue rose 1%. Corporate taxes have plummeted by 30% this fiscal year. That's both because of the lower rate as well as the expanded ability to immediately deduct the full value of equipment purchases. Individual income and payroll taxes have climbed 4% as increasing wages, mostly due to more people having jobs, offset a lower withholding rate. The number of job openings in the U.S. climbed to a record 6.94 million in July. About 5.68 million people were hired, and 5.53 million lost their jobs in July. The share of people who left jobs on their own, that's known as the quits rate, that rose a notch to 2.7% among private sector employees. The record is 2.9%. That was set back in 2001. The quits rate was 2.4% among all workers. That's also near a record high. Workers who switch jobs usually get better pay than those who remain in their old ones, and more people switch when they're confident about the economy. Job openings increase the most in insurance, finance, and manufacturing. Hurricane Florence will hit the southeastern and mid-Atlantic U.S. as a major storm, potentially thrashing coastal areas stretching from South Carolina to northern Virginia with winds. Heavy rains could top 2 feet, and life-threatening storm surge which could top 12 feet in some areas. More than a million people being ordered to evacuate ahead of the storm. Hurricane watches, meaning hurricane conditions possible within the next 2 days, issued from South Carolina to the North Carolina-Virginia border. Florence currently sustaining 130-mile-per-hour winds. That makes it a Category 4 storm. Forecasters warn that it may continue to intensify as it approaches the coast, possibly even making landfall Thursday or Friday in North Carolina as a Category 3 or 4 storm with winds in excess of 120 miles per hour. Motorists streamed inland on highways converted to one-way evacuation routes today. About 1.7 million people in three states warned to get out of the way. For now, Florence is expected to slow down as it approaches the coast. That could be a bad thing. It could lead to a prolonged and exceptionally heavy rainfall event, which may extend inland over the Carolinas and mid-Atlantic for hundreds of miles. Recall that slow speed and heavy rain were what made Hurricane Harvey such a devastating event for Houston last year. It wasn't just the wind speed. It is estimated that more than 750,000 homes are in the path of Florence, and the worst-case rebuilding scenario would cost more than $170 billion. A new report from CoreLogic, based on forecast from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, shows that this year, nearly 7 million homes are at risk of hurricane storm surge. That's about the same number as last year when NOAA predicted an above-normal season. Total reconstruction costs set to be about $1.6 trillion this year, a little bit higher because of higher construction equipment and labor cost. Today marks the 17th anniversary of the September 11th attacks, nearly 3,000 people killed in 2001 when terrorists flew planes into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, a fourth plane crashing in Pennsylvania. There were ceremonies at Ground Zero, Washington, and Shanksville. I realize we all lead busy lives, and it could be easy to let a day like today pass like any other. But today, of course, is not like other days. So if you have not yet, at some point, take a moment to pause and remember. Dow Industrials up 113 at 25,971. S&P 500 up 10 at 2887. NASDAQ up 48 at 7972. We always invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, the daily blog, eatthebankers.com.